Don, you're going to be very disappointed in me.
Why is that?
Bought a loop lasso from TikTok.
What the fuck's a loop lasso?
You've never seen those advertisements?
No.
It's fucking stupid.
I have a very well-defined algorithm.
I paid $4 for it.
Plus $30 shipping and handling, because that's how fucking TikTok works.
No, it wasn't. Actually, I didn't pay any shipping and
handling. What does one do with a loop lasso?
It's exactly what it is. What it says it is.
It's a lasso in a loop?
It's just fucking a redundant device that you turn on with a rope that spins around really fast.
It's a toy.
Yes.
What are you, a child?
Yes.
You're a goddamn married man, for God's sake.
Mm-hmm.
I'll send you on that TikTok of that podcast guy who does... Have you seen him? He's a financial podcaster, but he's like 25, and he's sitting there yelling at all his contemporaries for like spending $30 a night on fucking Grubhub. He's like, just go to the store, get some fucking lunch meat and a sandwich, and stop destroying your fucking credit. These people going on a show like have $1,300 a month fucking car payments.
Yeah.
And
yeah, you've been sending me those.
Yeah. Welcome to the AMR version of the
West. Like he's in me.
The ASMR version.
Yeah, What's in Your Head podcast. I'm your host, the macaroni and cheese eating son of a bitch, Don. Great. Joining us from Fort Myers is Mike, no use for last name, because after all, if he had one, no one could pronounce the fucking thing anyhow.
That's right.
And of course, down in the bottom square, Morgan Long. Morgan, how you doing on this episode of the, well, we're not celebrities. What was that show called? Hollywood Squares? Welcome to the Southwest Florida Loser Squares. Woo! My mystery flying magic pod.
Wouldn't even make the center square on that one.
So I just did the most ghetto thing possible the other day.
Uh-oh.
So the reason I'm late is today I'm on vacation time, because as of 4:30 today I'm on vacation because I'm leaving for a cruise first thing in the morning. And so we're running around spending even more god-awfully unforeseen money on nonsense before we go on this cruise. So on certain cruises, they sell their... Well, on all cruises, they sell their booze at a premium. But on certain cruises, they allow you to bring one bottle of wine. Free. You buy it, you bring it, you schlep it on. And so you also can bring your own 12-pack of soda. So I'm bringing a 12-pack of Coke. Carrie's bringing a 12-pack of Diet Coke. The kids bring a 12-pack of Coke. And that should carry us over for a half a day. And then for the next 3.5 days, we'll pay him out of pocket.
Okay.
But Carrie's stepdad is a cruise connoisseur. He's already been on 3 this year. And he got to letting his fingers do the surfing on Amazon one day.
Uh-oh.
And he came across a kit for the home vineyard, if you would. Maybe you got some grapes you're growing out in the backyard and you let some shit ferment in your closet. Sure. And he basically got a giant hand mechanism that puts corks in bottles. And he got a whole box of professional grade little sleeves that you put in hot water and it heat shrinks them. And what we figured out is I went out and got myself a brand new 17.2 fluid ounces bottle of my favorite Larceny bourbon. It's a weeded bourbon. And Rusty has it down to a science. Just a couple of drops of blue, a little drop of red. Pour it in that clean wine bottle with the label still on it. Looks like red wine. Boil some water, put the cork in it, get it hot enough. Put it in that device, crank it down, put the sleeve on it. I should have brought it here. I got a bottle of dark red wine that's truly bourbon. So, needless to say, I bought a 12-pack of Coke, so I can just mix drinks all day in my fucking room and walk around with bourbon and Coke for $35. Yeah.
Outstanding, dude.
That is some ghetto-ass shit, but hey, I'm saving money in the long run, opposed to, what, hey, $5 a drink?
That's a...
And you have to, and you can't crack
alcoholic's life hack right there.
You can't crack the bottle because you need the exact 17.5 fluid ounces to have the same amount of liquid that a bottle of wine has in it. Get it right there. So how y'all doing?
So how long is your
3.5 hours?
serious.
That's a Gilligan Jokes reference that flew everybody's fucking head. No, it's 4 days.
No, I got you. I got you.
No, it must have been some bandwidth latency.
The other 3 days?
I don't know. Walk around Bahamas for a couple hours and going to some other island in the Atlantic and then hopping on a cruise and heading back. I've only been on one other cruise, also Carnival, but that was 22 years ago. Back then, wow. You paid for your cruise. You went on, you paid $25 for a Coke soda all-you-can-drink card, and everything but the casino was included. Now it's, we got 38 restaurants and five of them are included. So, like, they're nickeling and diming you to death now. Yeah. Internet. So we have cameras in our houses because my dad's staying here, but we want to see the dogs. This is Carrie's first time leaving the dogs for more than 8 hours. Fucking internet plan. They have three. For $25 a day per person, they'll let you access Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. But no websites.
$25 a day per person?
No, yeah. But that's just social media. No internet, no email, no Wi-Fi phone calling. We had to buy the medium plan, and only for Carrie, so that we can do Wi-Fi calling and check in with my dad, and plus hopefully see our cameras. $85 for 4 days. That's like half of somebody's fucking internet bill for a month. But you got to do it.
Almost twice my internet bill for a month.
That is my internet bill for a month.
Yeah, mine too. Yeah. My Quantum Fiber is $79 a month, flat rate, 90 megs up, 90 megs down, bitches.
You have Quantum Fiber?
I have Quantum Fiber, yeah.
When did that switch over? Because you had Comcast at one point, didn't you?
Yeah, I had Comcast, and those pricks went to data-driven plan. And for those of y'all who have direct withdrawal from your bank account, you probably don't realize this. Comcast is no longer flat rate. Comcast is like 2005 cell phone data plan now. Mm-hmm. And when I was doing two of these live a month, I was streaming these live on YouTube. What's in your head? No, two a week. So 3 weeks a month, two shows live, plus all the streaming my daughter does, watching YouTube and Xbox. They were, after I went over my $250 a month allotted worth, they charged me $50 per gig. I was getting $400 a month fucking cable bills.
Yep.
So I dropped it,
cut
the cable, got all streaming services, went to Quantum, and so much better internet.
Yeah.
And then after I paid Comcast that last $450 bill, 30 days later, I paid my new internet bill. They sent me another bill for $100 for overages. I said, fuck you, I ain't paying that. Send it to collections. I'm not paying you another $100 for fucking overages. Kiss my ass. The only reason they're doing that is everybody's, no one pays for cable anymore. And you, even though they own fucking more than just cable, you think they're going to let that money go away?
That was
about a year ago?
Well, that was Time Warner back in the day, wasn't it?
When I first moved here,
by Comcast, didn't they?
Yeah, when I first moved down here in 2004, Roadrunner was Fort Myers, Comcast was Cape Coral. And then
there was Time Warner too, wasn't there?
Yeah, Comcast bought them out.
Yeah.
And I think everything east of the Rockies is Comcast, and I think everything west of the Rockies out in California area is Cox. Mm. And so they're the two big monopolies.
No shit.
Yep. No shit. So what's up, Morgan Long? How are you? What do you got going on in the world? What's stuck in your craw?
Not much. It's getting hot. Like, you know, two rats in a wool sock.
Yep. You're telling me.
Are you still out in your freaking meth room for this podcast? Because wasn't your previous plan is you would cool that thing down for a few hours and turn the AC off? That only lasts like 5.5 minutes now.
Yeah, no, I had to move it in the house.
Crazily enough, I think your internet was better out in the camper. You're kind of max headrooming tonight.
Well, you know, it's weird because the internet transmitter is like just as far away from me as it was out there.
You may have been on your cell phone signal out there.
Yeah, I suppose that's possible. I don't know. It's I bet I know it is. I think the TV's still on.
See, it's that $30 cable plan he was talking about. You can't watch TV and stream at the same time.
Yeah, it's $50, but, you know, it's T-Mobile, so who
T-Mobile, yeah.
Is it like a hotspot?
It's that T-Mobile home internet nonsense.
Oh.
Yeah.
That they've been advertising.
It's worked pretty good up to this point.
Yeah, you must be over your monthly data for the month. So what's going on in your world, Mike? What's going on in your world, sir?
What's going on in my world? A whole lot of bullshit this week, I can tell you that.
Oh, please do.
We're all fathers here.
Mm-hmm.
We can all agree that sometimes our children test our patience. And
sometimes? More often than not.
Right.
Yeah.
Our short fuses, if you will.
I was told not to catch an attitude last night. Mm. Yeah. After dropping like $180 on clothes. Yeah. Mm. And 2 days before taking her ass on a cruise, I was told not to cop an attitude. Yeah.
All right. Right. So I love my son to death. He's always been an excellent kid.
But
always been an excellent kid. Mind you, he's turning 12 this year.
Oh, I'm sorry. Two more years, he'll be beaten off in your recliner.
Don't. Come on now. Don't do this to me, Don. Don't do this to me.
You'll be finding sticky socks in the cushions.
Don't do it to me. Oh, God. I've got him started on his own laundry early.
There you go.
He knows how to load that shit. He knows how to switch it, and he's learning the dryer. So you fucking do your own shit. I'm not dealing with that. So anyway, get a phone call from his mother. His mother and I are separated, and, well, we're divorced, but get a phone call from his mother. I'm going up to the school to go pick him up. He's in a nurse's office. Some kid slammed him down. I went, okay. So I called the school. 12 times I called that fucking school.
9 times.
And on the 12th try, I finally got a hold of the front office, and they said, yes, how may I help you? Can I direct your call? I said, I've been trying to call the nurse. I can't get a hold of anybody. They put me back on fucking hold. So finally, my son texted me from the nurse's office, and I just got fed up with the school, and I hung up the phone on them. So I called him, and he was explaining to me what had happened. And he said he found a watch at school in like gym class or something like that. And I was like, okay, whatever. And this kid was like, saying, oh yeah, I don't know whose watch that is, blah, 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 and whatever. So my son unfortunately hung on to it. I would rather him turn it in, you know, and put it in lost and found or something like that. That's what a good Samaritan would typically do. But he's in middle school. So by the second period, the kid was supposedly trying to take it from him. He didn't allow him to take it from him, and he shoved him down on the ground and he hit his head on something.
The same kid who previously told him he didn't know whose watch it was, or correct, a kid claiming to be the owner?
Correct. It was the same kid the whole time. At first he said he didn't know whose it was, and then all of a sudden he said, oh, that's my watch.
Oh, that's because he realized the coast is clear. Your boy did the hard part. Now he wants to say, hey, I want that fucking thing.
Right. So we get all this, you know, situated. My ex-wife, she goes up to the school. She's talking to the SRO officer. She's trying to get into a meeting with the principal to see what's going on, because we want to know what's going to happen with this kid, because he's putting his hands on my kid, so on and so forth.
And after all, for the last 13 years, you've been hearing that schools have zero tolerance.
Yes. So they go home. I left work early. Her fiance left work early to go pick her up and take her down there. So after all that, my son gets to his mother's house, and they were talking back and forth and whatnot, and I get a random phone call from my ex-wife that says, "You'll never believe what your son just told me." I went, "Okay. What's going on?" And she said, "He completely made up the whole fucking story."
Did he win it in a game of three card money?
And I went, "Are you fucking kidding me?"
Was this before or after you like showed your ass in school?
Huh?
Was this after you showed your ass at his school? Did you go?
I didn't go down there. His mother went down there.
And she showed her ass.
This was after.
Either way, an ass was shown today at school on his back.
Correct. Yes. Yes. So I fucking lost my shit because you're not going to fucking do that. You're not going to make us look like assholes. So come to find out, the entire story was completely wrong. He lied about the whole fucking thing. What was going on was that they were in gym class and they were throwing a frisbee. Him and his friends were throwing a frisbee back and forth, and the other kid was trying to intercept it or whatever. And they were, you know, running back and forth, and supposedly they ended up at one point running into each other and they knocked each other over. That's what happened. Now, why my kid thought it was a good idea to try and get somebody else in trouble for no fucking reason at all is way beyond me.
Well, the fact that he made up this whole convoluted story about possibly misdemeanor theft to find a watch that didn't even exist.
Where did that come from?
I know. I'll tell him I found a watch.
Yeah, like, oh my God.
Because for some reason in his mind, that is a safer outcome than, hey, we were dicking around, we had an accident, we bumped into each other.
I guess so.
Wow.
I guess so. Hmm. So, I mean, I flipped my shit. I ripped his fucking, you know, $1,000 computer system out of his room, pulled all the cables off of his TV and his PlayStation and all that shit. I ripped everything out. It's all sitting in the corner in my office right here, right now. I'm a little disappointed in myself because I did destroy a USB and an HDMI cable in the process, but I digress.
Now, I don't want to sound like an advertisement for Quantum Fiber, but if you get their Home 360 plan and connect everything to Wi-Fi, you can go on your phone and pause shit, which is what we do on a daily goddamn bit. No more removing consoles, no removing power. Guess what kids don't like? TVs and Xboxes when there's no internet connection. So I just pull up my phone. What'd you say? Pause. TV 2. Pause. What? Huh? Cell phone? Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah, you can pause each individual device.
Now, I could have done that, but I think
it wouldn't have had the same visual effect.
Yeah. Right. I think it was more effective because I had to do all of this over the phone because he was with his mother.
Oh.
So I had him on FaceTime and I was showing him that I was ripping all of his shit off of his desk.
Yeah.
That's it. You're done. And I don't trust you for shit. And you'll be lucky if you ever get this shit back.
And next time you could just take the controller, the keyboard, and a mouse.
Probably. But yeah, well, I've threatened him plenty of times.
Once again, it won't have the same impact.
I've threatened him plenty of times. I'll take that fucking power cord off your computer.
Yep.
And that's the biggest thing that he cares about is that computer and that phone.
Well, you know,
at 12 years old,
dude, you're preaching to the choir. How do you think I feel when it's a 16 year old?
Yeah.
Does the same thing. As soon as she walks in the door, can you unpause my Xbox? Because we have to pause at 11:30. So we pause every night at 11:30. Otherwise, she won't go to bed. You know, I said earlier we have cameras in our house now, so we can see our dogs. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
She has to turn her phone in at 11:30 because she can't be trusted.
Mm-hmm.
Carrie sent me a text. Check the kitchen camera from 1:30 last night. There's my daughter standing out in the kitchen drinking while on her phone.
At 1:30 in the morning.
Yep. And then 2 days later, she overslept and missed the bus. So, yeah, it's...
So, well, as far as the phone was concerned, We all have Apple phones, so we're all on Apple family and all that stuff. So I took his account and completely restricted it down to he can only do two things.
We did the
call,
same.
Mm-hmm. Text, and there's only five people that he can call and text. And
we had to
it.
Do the same
rest
thing.
Of his phone is locked down like fucking Fort Knox.
We disabled the camera on it. We actually installed Bark that tells us like when certain words or phrases pop up in text messages.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you're 16 and a half. And I'm treating you like a 12-year-old because you're just it's because I'm tired of you telling 23-year-olds where we fucking live. It's fucking nuts. Morgan, you're so lucky your kids are like in their 30s now.
Yeah, your kids are probably closer to my age.
Daddy?
Well, I got one. I got one that turns 29. Turns 23 this year, so yeah.
Well, see, I'm in the same boat as you. I was a statistic of the 90s. I became a father at 17, as a lot of us did in the 90s, because, well, we were latchkey kids, we're Gen X, and we had no parental supervision. And so my oldest daughter is 24 now, but our youngest daughter is 16, so I went through it then, had a nice long break, and now doing it again.
That's where I'm going to end up, because my wife doesn't have kids of her own. She wants kids, you know, at least one. She wants at least two. And, well, you know, it's like, fuck. I've been through the ringer. Like, I've done all this shit, and it's like, man, I gotta do it all over again.
Yeah, but
do you at give, least one more time. If
do you
want
to give
more
birth
time,
to a biological future slave to some AI robot 40 years from now? Which, yeah, by the way, right. I don't want to be like canceled for saying this, and I'm not saying do any harm. I'm simply saying, should someone be keeping a list of names of people who work on AI just so we can simply bring them up on charges of crimes against humanity in 40 years? Just putting that out there. I'm not saying we need to round them up or put them in jail. I'm just saying 40 years from now, when we're all being decimated by fucking AI, we need a list of assholes being brought up on fucking human rights charges. And we need to start making that list now, because there's a bunch of these assholes.
Mm-hmm.
We're starting with you, Boston Robotics.
By the way, you can't be canceled because you're already a community guideline violator.
Yes, so. I am community guideline violator. No, but
canceled doesn't exist for you anymore. That's you violate too much shit already.
Well, now we have no sponsors, so you can't take nothing from nothing.
Can't take shit from. Can't take it if I don't got it, motherfucker. Yeah,
you can't get something from someone that's got nothing. So,
man, I was thinking earlier about So before Morgan politely texted me and said, "Hey, fuck face, we got a podcast tonight. I don't give a fuck on vacation because I just got done eating." I was in the room watching this YouTube video, and I found a couple of channels. These guys have Micus before your time, but Morgan will appreciate this. There's a couple of guys who have some old school BMX bike museums, and they got the Haros and the Diamondbacks and the remember that purple one with the big white disc mags and that everybody had. And so I'm sitting here watching these videos, and I was thinking, and this kind of came up with something else Carrie was talking about. Oh, we were at Publix yesterday, and I'll bring this all together. I know I'm all over the place. I pointed over to the red ticket pooler that you see at the deli. The deli ticket, red plastic thing, looks like a giant snail. I was telling Sarah, I was like, a couple of years ago, I was watching this show about high-end collective automotive cars, and they're over in Britain, and this guy was like 80, and this was 10 years ago. He invented that thing back after the war, and he's a multimillionaire, if not a billionaire, based on nothing more than selling fucking deli tickets in that holder. And she's like, why would he invent that? I said, because it didn't exist. Before him, that wasn't a thing, and back then, everybody went to the deli to get their food. And Carrie's like, yeah, that's was a nice thing about then. Back then, not everything fucking existed. You had an idea. There's a good chance that it didn't exist, and you can make money off of it. Now you wake up in the middle of the night, you say, aha, I'm going to make a dog door you can install on your glass slider, but you're smart enough to go look on Google first, and it already fucking exists. Everything exists now. But to that point, I was watching these mountain bike, this bike show. I'm thinking, man, that Diamondback or that Haro or that Redline, that was like a $450 bike back in 1983. In 2024 money, that would be like you buying your kid That's what, like $2,000, $3,000 BMX bike?
Yeah.
And I was like, the guy on the show was talking. He's like, I can never afford any of these, but there's always that one kid in our neighborhood with the rich parents. And I was like, yeah, that was the third one on the right was the rich kid in our neighborhood had those. And it's just so crazy how, but the sad thing is now is everything's so mass produced. Schwinn, GT, Mongoose. Those aren't the Mongooses, the Schwinns, and the GTs that we knew from 1980, 1990. They all went out of business and were bought up by some Chinese company who just bought their stickers. And now that's why you see Mongoose, GT, and Schwinn at Walmart, because they're all garbage. I don't know if I told you guys this, but my dad bought my stepmom a Schwinn mountain bike back in 2000, back when Schwinn was still around. And she passed away. I gave it to my oldest daughter, and then when she moved, I gave it to Sariana. Sariana rides it. Well, we had the city water bullshit going on, and she went to ride it to school one day because they keep moving her bus stop around. I went out Sunday night, got her bike chain. She went down there, chained it to the stop sign. Got a call 3 hours later. The fucking guy in the goddamn backhoe ran over her bike. Just so I went down there. The back rim's tacoed. The seats broke. The left pedal shaft's completely snapped off. And so I pulled down out of my truck because Sarah and I just walked home. And the guy's like, is that your daughter's bike? I was like, yeah. He's like, sorry about the bike, man. We'll replace it. I said, well, it's not so much as the bike, except for it was her grandmother's bike, you know. I said, by the way, this isn't a modern-day Schwinn you get at Walmart for $250. This was a classic Schwinn. Oh, don't worry. We'll pay for it. And they did, rightfully so. But I tried to find that bike. And that's when I found out Schwinn doesn't exist anymore. You're not going to find a quality Schwinn GTs. We ended up going to Dick's Sporting Goods and bought like a Dick's Sporting Goods brand bike. That fucker was $600. But I'd be goddamn, the owner of that construction company didn't come off here and break off 6-1s in my front porch. He happily did it. But it's like even cheap knockoff bikes are $600 now.
Yep.
Because everything's so mass produced. But the nice thing about that is everybody can fucking have a bike nowadays. Opposed to when we were kids, we're riding our piece of shit Huffy, just wishing we could ride that. Can I get on your Diamondback? Nope.
I had a Huffy and a Mongoose. But I had a Walmart Mongoose.
Yeah.
I didn't have a fucking good one from
2005.
Back in 2005. Huh?
I think back in 2005, 2006 when they went to Walmart.
Yeah. And I had a Mongoose skateboard that was already pre-built. Fucking piece of shit.
Oh, this is what I was thinking. I'm all over the place. But to that line.
What was this, like 2018? Or
what's that? Oh, his Mongoose?
When he had his Mongoose 2018?
Yeah.
But that point, here's the other point I wanted to make. I was watching that show, but I was never a biker. I was a skateboarder. Yeah. You couldn't be on both sides. And kids nowadays are like, why can't you be a skateboarder and a biker? Because I just explained that those bikes cost $350 back then. A Pro Series skateboard cost $130. So you had a choice. Your parents couldn't afford both. So do you want to become a biker or a skateboarder? So I became the skateboarder. There was not enough money to fly in both those packs, right? It's like the kid, you know, it's either you play hockey or you play football. I can't afford both uniforms unless you're the super rich kid. And so even though I never rode those bikes, and I didn't get into BMX biking. I didn't look at the magazines. I still recognize this from the kids in my neighborhood because I was too busy skateboarding, and we almost had like East Side Story thing or West Side Story thing. You know, you had the Jets versus you had the skateboarders versus the bikers. Like literally, the two did not mix. It was like a status thing. It's like you don't hang out with those. They're fucking bike riders. You don't hang out with those. They're skater fags.
At one point, I was the one kid out of the group that had the mountain bike.
You guys ever watch Bruce Stu on YouTube?
The what?
Bruce Stu on YouTube.
That sounds familiar.
This guy makes real shitty like Microsoft Paint cartoons. They're called Bruce Stu. They're fucking hilarious. But he's talking about he grew up in Ohio in the 90s. And his neighbor's kid is the Mike of the neighborhood. But before he had the mountain bike, when everybody else had the BMX bike, his dad brought him home one of those big wheels, the 1890s big front wheel with the little one in the back.
What the fuck is that called?
The bone shaker. He jumped it off a ram and broke it, And so then he went and stole his sister's mountain bike. So they're all, they had their bicycle gang in their neighborhood, and they're all on their BMX bikes, and they're all fantasizing about being motorcycle riders. And here he comes on his fucking mountain bike.
And yeah, I'll be damned if I didn't win every race, though, because I had gears, motherfucker. Yeah.
If you knew how to use them, it amazes me how many people don't know how to use their gears properly on a multi-geared bike.
Yeah.
I got a Walmart Schwinn. I ain't going to lie. I bought it when we adopted Sariana because she got Melody's bike. But I'm 6'5". I think this thing has 21-inch rims on it. It's like a crotch rocket without an engine. That's how big this fucking bike is. Because people don't realize you have to get a bike to your size. Otherwise, you know, your knees are supposed to be almost locked on the downstroke, but not all the way. And so I got this big motherfucking bike. It's huge. But it's a Schwinn.
Like a beach cruiser?
It's a 21-speed mountain bike hardtail, but it's so long to fit my 6'5" fucking chassis. But I think it literally has like 17 or 19. No, maybe I want to say it has like 20, 21-inch rims on it. It's fucking huge.
See, when I was younger, when I was preteens, my friend in the neighborhood, he had this one bike that looked like a chopper.
Uh-huh.
It was a bicycle, a fat tire in the rear, a skinny tire in the front. It had a heavy rake on it.
How old are you again?
It was a pedal bicycle, huh?
How old are you again? Like 30-something?
I'll be 32 this year.
That math works out, because that means when you were 12, West Coast Choppers was at its fucking prime. Yep. And so he had like the West Coast Chopper Walmart themed bike.
Something like that.
That's exactly what it was, because I was something in my 20s like then, yeah. So that shit didn't apply. I guarantee you, you were growing up, you were like 13, right in the prime of fucking West Coast Choppers, Orange County Choppers, and that whole...
And Monster Garage and all that kind of shit.
Fast and Loud.
Jesse James. Yep. But
that makes perfect sense.
When he got that bike, his dad was building a motorcycle in the garage.
Like, I gotcha.
From the frame up. And he was so into it that he put like a 5-horse...
I was gonna
side shaft engine on it. He got
weed eater engine.
He got
weed eater engine.
It was something. I don't remember. Like a Briggs.
I'm saying you can get like a Tilton
from Harbor Freight or something.
I was gonna say you can get like a Tilton 250 from Harbor Freight for $200.
And he fucking mounted it on there, and he took the the pedals out, and he ended up putting a shaft through the center of that. And he put like BMX pegs on it so you could actually like ride it like real nice.
Mm-hmm.
That thing was fucking awesome. Every kid in the neighborhood wanted that fucking thing.
Did he technically have to get a moped's license for that?
No. I mean, we were just kids. What's he going to do with it? He was going to fucking register that fucking thing. He didn't ride it around like it was a regular motorcycle. He just rode it around the neighborhood.
Because that was like the hierarchy of white kid childhood in the Midwest, right? Like,
what do you mean?
You know how, like, when Jewish kids turn, like, 12, they have a bat mitzvah?
Yeah.
Well, when the Gentiles, you know your boy becomes a man, at least in the 80s and 90s, when he discovered lava lamps, blacklight posters, and the fucking doors. Every 13-year-old white kid discovered one day out of nowhere, he's got a doors banner, he's got a blacklight, he's got fucking lava lamps in his bedroom. That's, my boy is a man! And when they hit 15, if they had... well-to-do parents or ingenuitive parents. My buddy, my brother had one, and my buddy Andy, they all had mopeds. I was so envious of Andy when he got his fucking moped. Like, you're 15 and you got a motorized bike? And the thing looked more like a motorcycle, but I wanted a moped so fucking bad. That was like the coolest thing. Because we didn't have internet.
I wanted one when I was that age too. Yeah. I mean, none of the kids in the neighborhood had one, but growing up, my dad was a mechanic for 25 years. So, yeah. I mean, anything that had an engine, I was happy with. I mean, I had go-karts and stuff like that. I didn't get, like, into, like, the four-wheelers and dirt bikes until I got older, but...
I never had that, but my buddy Jason's parents and family own a bunch of acreage out in Grove City, and he had, like, what was the super... Morgan, what was the super popular Kawasaki dirt bike in the 90s that was white with the green fucking fender flares? That was the Kawasaki with the purple seat.
Like, what, like a K25?
Yeah, he had like one of those. He had three-wheelers, four-wheelers, and so I learned how to downshift and ride a motorcycle early on.
Yeah.
Riding dirt bikes. And but yeah, so I had fun by proxy. Now when I turned 16, my options were get a car, get a Wave Runner. Well, I got the Wave Runner, and then I bought my S10 that used to be Gordon's that my dad took away from Gordon after he wrecked it and then rebuilt it. And so I had a beat up S10, and then I had a used 1993 Wave Runner 2, which is the exact one. It's still sitting in the canal over here. Someone has one around here. I had the same one. And then my brother came back home at 19, and my dad said, hey, we had a discussion, and we're going to give you the jet ski too. And I'm like, where was I for this fucking discussion? You just gave my 16th birthday present away? And so my dad had a pontoon boat. We had this Wave Runner. This is a 1996. So I had a 93 Wave Runner 2. The thing was two-cylinder, 55 horses. Yeah. But back then, it was fucking awesome.
That's better than nothing, though.
And so we had the pontoon boat. It was like a mobile dock. Well, my brother and his girlfriend, which is a girl I used to mess around with before he started dating with her, podcast, what are you doing? We're not live. You're fine. So Gordon and his girlfriend got on the thing, flipped it over, never to start again.
Oh, man.
And so, now I was 16. I didn't get my license until 17 because I was working at Wendy's and I had to pay for my driver's ed and all that. So I had this truck that used to be my brother's. Now it's mine. Had my temps. We're in Ohio. We go on vacation at Kentucky Lake, which is on the border of Kentucky and Tennessee. So it's like a four-hour drive. My dad takes a pontoon boat down there. He says, hey, there's a bunch of boat mechanics down there. Schlep the jet ski along, and let's see if we can get this thing fixed. So here I am, 15, on a temporary license, driving, pulling a trailer with a jet ski on it for like 4.5 hours. Long story short, take it there. No one could fix it. Take it to the place. We got it in Grove City. No one could fix it. My dad worked with a Harley guy. He took it. He poured it out. He rebuilt the engine, took off the clutch, put on a K&N carburetor, took off the choke, put on a K&N carburetor, ported the heads, basically added an extra 15 horse, couldn't get the thing to fucking start. Thing wouldn't start for nothing. Now I'm 21, I'm getting married. My dad's like, yo, I'm moving to fucking Texas. You got to come get this jet ski out of the driveway and do whatever the fuck you want with it. So I ended up putting it underneath my she was my mother-in-law at the time's dock, not her dock, but she had a two-story deck we built on the back of their house. A year and a half later, I get divorced. I'm out in California because I moved to California in 2001. I get a phone call from my ex-mother-in-law saying, hey, come get your fucking jet ski from behind my house. So I have to fly from California to Ohio. My sister borrows a truck from Kentucky, drives it 2 hours up there. The tires are flat. We got to go to Walmart. We get rims, air this thing up. I schlep this thing 150 miles to Kentucky, put up behind my mom's trailer, fly back to California. A couple months later, my cousin calls me. He's like, hey, what's up with that jet ski behind your mom's trailer? I said, you can fucking have it. I said, I will mail you the title. I said, I'm 21 years old. That thing's been broken since I was 17. It's been rebuilt, blah, blah, blah. He's a diesel mechanic. I just gave it to him. Besides, I'm fucking 21. I have no job. Even if it ran, I couldn't afford the insurance or the gas for the fucking thing. So just take it. About 4 months later, he said, got that jet ski running. I said, yeah. What was it? $25 part. He said, so I was tinkering with it. I couldn't figure out why it wouldn't fucking start. And I had the lid popped up on it. My buddy came over. And he had his hand on the steering wheel on the kill switch box. And when we fired up, he got shocked. For those of you playing along at home, there's a device, kind of like you have on a treadmill. It's called a kill switch. Now, based directly on the name, fellas, what do you think a kill switch does?
Kills the engine.
So I took this vehicle that has this kill switch on it, this vehicle that won't turn on and or start, took it to two fucking boat mechanics and the place who sold us the jet ski, and no one could figure out why this thing could fucking start. My dad called Yamaha. They were talking about, hey, if you want to pay us, we'll fly somebody out to fix it. No, can't do that. None of these assholes stopped to put a fucking bug light on the kill switch box. This whole time, it was the gasket on the kill switch box was broken. When they flipped it, water got in there. It fucking corroded the terminals. All this time, all these years, a $25 kill switch part and I could have been enjoying my fucking teenage years riding off into the sunset on Deer Creek on my fucking Wave Runner, but no. No one thought to check the goddamn, the device that's called a kill switch. That would imply that if the switch isn't working or is not engaged, it kills the motor. What's wrong with the jet ski? The motor's dead. I didn't know because I was fucking 16 years old. So my cousin got a, of course, by this time, jet skis are three cylinders, 110 horsepower. So he's purling up and down the Ohio River on a 55 horse fucking Wave Runner. But it was free. Didn't cost him nothing. But yeah. And that's why, friends, you never buy a used Wave Runner by, from a gypsy with one eye.
Jesus.
And you kids want to know why his Gen Xers are so fucking rude.
Angry all the time. You're all so fucking angry.
What are you, some kind of asshole? Do you feel better? You got that off your chest about your kid? Is he still at the mom's?
Kind of, yeah. Yeah, he's at his mother's. He wrote me a long letter and apologized and all this, that, and the other. And I was like,
not interested.
You know, I appreciate it, but it, you know, doesn't make up for what you did, bud.
Yeah.
You know, still love you, but
no one likes a liar.
You gotta pay the piper now, dude.
Oh. Yeah.
I mean, he's lucky, you know, cause when, you know, I believe in discipline. I don't believe putting your kid in the corner for 15 minutes and this, that, and the other. I think that's bullshit.
See, I kind of grew up...
I don't think that works.
I grew up in the same... I grew up in two camps. I grew up in... My dad would whoop your ass and did, but he didn't. He hasn't hit me since I was five because I knew it was an option, so I worked really hard at not getting caught. Right. But then you have my grandparents who believed in the timeout bench. They had these huge 13-foot-long benches in their dining room, and when I was wee little... And my poor grandmother was babysitting me, my brother, my sister, and my three male cousins during the 80s because, well, it's about as worse as it is now. No one could find fucking work. So while our parents were out working dead-end jobs or looking for gigs, they were babysitting us. We acted a fool. My World War II vet grandfather would just sit, smack you. First, he'd tell you to go pick a switch. Then you get a whooping, and then you would sit on that bench for like an hour. But the sitting on that bench for that hour was like an eternity. You would rather get 15...
No, I agree. I agree. That's one thing, but I didn't get, you know, real, you know, I got whacked with a belt a couple times, you know, when I was, and I got spankings and whooped and, you know, little bit here and there, but
you better know,
for the most part, I like to think that I was a pretty good kid and I didn't really need that kind of discipline that often. But I'm a firm believer in that kind of discipline.
I think if we had more firm believers, there's a difference between whooping your kid's ass and whooping your kid's ass. There's a huge difference.
There's a huge difference between giving an ass whooping and abusing your kid.
And if more people gave their kids an ass whooping, I guarantee fucking you'd have a lot less fucking TikTok videos of these kids beating their teachers' asses at school.
Yeah. You have no idea how fucking, and that comes from a millennial, you know?
Yeah, but because
a lot of millennials didn't really get, I mean, some of us got whoopings, you know, especially the older ones between, you know, the
1980s and the
80s and the early 90s. I mean, the mid 90s to, you know, probably 2000s. I mean, that was the part of the millennials that I think, you know, got coddled like the generation after us.
Yeah, and when the problem you guys have is the media, the comedians and the writers got so used to picking on the millennial generation early that when the Gen Z came along and really was doing dumb shit, you guys got tagged with their stupidity because they just, same reason to this day when you're watching a military movie, I need a clip for my gun. You mean a fucking magazine, you douchebag? No, the writers are lazy and they're used to watching. This is a clip.
Yeah.
Not a magazine, but same reason. So same reason assholes still ask for a clip, or the reason to this day 20-year-olds are called millennials, even though all millennials, the youngest millennial is, what, 32 now? So you guys keep getting smacked with, you know, you're getting this other group of assholes called millennials, and so you guys are getting blamed for shit you don't do.
And I think, you know, the older generation that, you know, that, you know, I'm in the middle of the generation, I think.
Stuck
you
in know, the
I'm
middle
still
with you.
A little bit on the older side because I think I grew up a lot more mature than a lot of my generation did, I think. And, you know, we saw a lot of shit, you know, between 9/11 and, you know, like, I mean, do you realize that there's kids out there that are alive that have never seen that? That blows my mind.
Never seen what?
9/11. My nephew didn't watch it on fucking TV.
My nephew
like,
was literally
I'm that old.
My nephew literally was born that morning, like 2 hours after the towers fell, he was born.
No shit.
No. So you want to talk about kids being mean? Going through elementary school with your birthdays on 9/11, they used to call him the devil. They said, "Oh, yeah. you're fucking, you know, you're born on sign of the devil." And it's like he got fucking shit for years. It's crazy. I barely made it into the Gen X. I was born in 78. It ended in 80. And so I'm on the cusp.
Yeah.
I can't believe it goes to 65.
Does it?
Yeah, 65 to 80 is Gen X. What year were you born, Morgan? 1962.
71. Okay. So,
yeah.
I'm like,
so you're
early
you're
in end a, of it, I guess you could call it.
You're an elder Xer. But see, I feel like and not to get too progressive here, but I feel like I identify a lot better with Gen Xers and even possibly boomers than I do with either my own generation or the generation after me.
Well, I think a lot of that might have to do.
I can't stand these fucking kids.
I think a lot of it has to do with, let's use some new age terms. If you were a latchkey kid or a free range child growing up, because if you were a free range child or a latchkey kid, you basically had the same existence as a Gen Xer because that was us. We were poor. Our parents were too busy trying to make money. And so, I mean, I was walking to and home from school since second grade by myself. Mm-hmm. So I was in charge, and we've discussed this so many times on the show, I won't go into it heavily, but I would wake up, eat breakfast, fall asleep on the couch, and I knew as soon as the ending credits for the Dennis the Menace cartoon came on, I would wake up and walk to school because I knew I had enough time to get to school.
Yeah.
So I'd watch.
See, for me, it wasn't, you know, all of that, but I had some of that, you know. I didn't grow up with a whole lot, but, you know, my parents were separated, divorced, whatever you want to call it. And, you know, my mother struggled a lot. My dad struggled a lot. I wouldn't say that I grew up poor, but I didn't grow up well off, you know.
Raise your hand if you ever consumed welfare cheese. Just me. Okay. Do you guys know?
I have.
Did we talk about
that? Trust me.
I won't get into it, but go look at the fat
government cheese.
We won't get into it here because I think we covered it before. But if you guys don't know the history of why welfare cheese became a thing, go look up the fat electrician on YouTube. He does an entire story on it, and it goes back to World War II, believe it or not.
Yeah.
And Ronald Reagan in the 80s are saying, why are we spending so much money to refrigerate cheese? Let's give the shit away.
But back to my original point of it is you know, kind of going back to like whoopings and stuff like that. Like, you know, I firmly believe, you know, even in my 30s that, you know, these kids all need to get whooped.
If your kids
need a good beating in their lives.
If your kid's acting a fool to the point where the cops come, they will look at you and say, corporal punishment is legal in Florida. They don't knock it off. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Yeah. They're essentially telling you to get them pissed off enough that they hit you so they can come and put them in juvie.
Mm-hmm.
That is the solution right here. They can't do anything else other than that. Your kid's acting like an asshole, get him mad so he hits you or your wife, and then we can come arrest him. Other than that, you're on your own. He can destroy your house. He can run away.
Well,
he can go. He can run off to Naples, leave the county, go to Lee Decatur County for 3 days, and we find him. We'll just bring him back home. That's it.
Yeah.
No free ride home. No need to buy an Uber. No threat of going to juvie or any sort. We had truant officers in Grove City. Like, if you skip school, it was like fucking playing goddamn Fortnite or Call of Duty in real time. You were like running house to house, making sure a cop didn't see you because they would grab your ass and drag you back to school. Now you skip school. Crawl PD is like, so what do you want us to do about it? It's like, it seems like the system, no one wants to be responsible for putting a kid in some sort of behavioral. The cops don't want to do it. Schools don't want to do it. And the system don't want to do it. They'll cops will tell you to call so-and-so. So-and-so will tell you to call the cops. No one wants to do it. So the kid's just like, fuck it. Free reign.
What were you going to say, Morgan?
Well, I've actually been on both of that. I actually had a truant officer pick me up, cuff me, and take me to school. And within probably 18 months, they were suspending me for 2 weeks for skipping 4 days of school. And I looked at our disciplinary, whatever position he was, and I said, do you understand the irony of this? And he goes, yeah, but it's a district policy. That's what we have to do. And I'm like, all right, cool. I'll see you after my 2 week vacation.
Yeah. Makes a whole lot of sense. That makes a whole lot of sense.
Punish me by giving me exactly what I want.
My middle school was smart. My middle school had in-school suspension. I got in-school suspension for a day. They didn't send your ass home. They made you go sit in a fucking empty room.
We had detention.
I did that too.
We had detention. We had ISS and we had OSS. We had in-school suspension. We had out-of-school suspension.
I wonder if I could.
Severity. Depending on what you got.
I wonder how good the record keeping was at Grove City High School. Because if they kept records, I had to have set some sort of record for detentions. because I had lunch period and study hall back to back. And so I would tell my study hall person that I was going to go down to the ceramics room and work on a project because I was known for my art and the ceramics teacher liked me. But so I would just double up my lunches. And after a while, they just caught on. And so every day I would just walk back. And I would literally get a detention every day for skipping study hall and having two lunches. And went on for months. I would just go hang around for 45 minutes after school, do my homework, and then go home.
I remember I started getting detention like my junior and senior year of high school because I stopped giving a shit.
Yeah.
And I had my credits. My grades weren't great, but I was passing the classes, so it was, you know. But I started getting detention a lot, and interesting enough, I had construction class, and our fucking teacher would go get the keys to a short bus and load us all up into the short bus, and we go down to the breakfast joint and go get something to eat.
It's a boring day with nothing better to do, but then get a load of retards to drive him to the zoo.
Yeah. He retired. He retired my senior year. So he was done. He was like, he was fed up. He was over it. He was like, I'm not going to teach you guys a single thing in this class. You do whatever the fuck you want. We were like,
short timer. Love it.
We had free reign out in the shop. We fucking make all kinds of shit. If OSHA saw 20 kids out in the fucking wood shop area.
Not a safety glass to be found.
No safety, no nothing. We're just making whatever the fuck we want to make.
Nunchucks.
We're just putting all kinds of shit into a wood planer to see if it'll cut the top of it off.
And it's like late night with Letterman instead of will it float? Will it plane?
we'd pull. I mean, even further than that. I mean, when we were older and we had licenses and cars and stuff, we'd pull our cars into the shop and work on our cars.
Thank you. Welcome to the Three Old Men Talking. Back in my day, a router was used to bevel wood. I had the same wood shop teacher for 8 semesters. Had him 2 semesters every year for 4 years. By my senior year of school, high school, I had already made everything in the curriculum. I did the same thing, Mike. He would let, somebody wants to pay me to install an amplifier to their toilet. I would pull their car around back. I would run the cable, put the inline fuse. He would let me use the drills to drill the holes in the utility, put in the toggle switch button to kill the amp, you know, because we didn't know what fucking ignition wires were on the head unit. Actually, we had them on the head unit, but just not on the amplifier. But yeah, I installed 2 or 3 car stereos my senior year in high school because we didn't have car shop, but we had wood shop, and Dude's like, yeah. You've done this for fucking 4 years, man. Go sick.
See, I wish we had like automotive, because I know like they had, you know, automotive shops back in the day in high school. Like that was a trade skill that you could learn in school.
Well, mine was a buggy shop, you know, and then, you know, had the equestrian center right next to her because it was horse and buggy. You know?
Gotcha.
Are either one of you a football fanatic?
I have a favorite team, and I'll watch the Super Bowl every year, but that's about as far as I go.
But not big college football? Not.
No, I love college football. That, like, I put the mouth when, you know, that time of year gets here.
Are you familiar with the defensive coordinator coach Alex Grinch? Worked for OU for a while.
Can't say that I am.
Let's see. Who on he worked
like
for?
The Ohio State University?
No, Oklahoma Ohio State. Yep. Let's see. Okay. No. Yeah. Joined Urban Meyer and staff in Ohio State in 2018. He worked for Oklahoma in 2019. He worked for Washington State from 2015 to 2017. Worked for Missouri for a short stint. Worked at Wyoming, New Hampshire, Missouri. His father was my middle school teacher, principal. Our principal's name was Mr. Grinch. But yeah, his father was my middle school principal. No one ever believed me that I had a principal named Mr. Grinch until he became a professional, a college football defensive coordinator. I said, told ya!
That's funny. Yep,
his dad was my middle school teacher, Mr. Grinch.
That's interesting.
Not too much, man.
That's interesting. Yeah, we had ag class for welding. Learned how to do that. We used to go into that class and we'd go smoke cigarettes and shit in the fucking shop. And then I actually dated my high school principal's daughter.
How'd that play out?
For a few years. Oh, I was on his shit list every day. I mean, I wouldn't say that I was on his shit list like I always did something wrong, but he always was like, had an eye in the back of his head for me. Every time I was walking around, he was always looking at me or like noticed me or whatever I was doing. So I always had to try and keep like a straight and narrow around him. But she was a fucking crazy one.
Can you hear the
puppy? They all are.
Yeah,
they're all.
I dated. Oh, you'll like this, Morgan. I dated my recruiter's daughter.
That's one way to get back at him for all the lies.
Unless you got the TV in your single occupancy barracks room and with the beer fridge and other stuff they promised you.
Yeah. I got all that shit. Yeah, right.
And you got duty station and good business.
Yeah,
he got nothing but a rash of shit and a clean pair of skivvies.
That's right. Fucking right. Just you show me where your running shoes and skivvies go. Oh God, yeah, that was
Morgan. So old, they did PT and boots.
Do what?
I said Morgan's so old they did PT and boots.
Well, you know, the funny thing is right at the time I was in, weren't supposed to PT in your BDUs. And they would do it every day. And somebody pipe up, hey, you know you're not PT us in this uniform. And I don't know. You do push-ups like it's business.
Yeah. Why'd you have to open your fucking mouth, asshole?
Yeah. Yeah, there was a couple of guys that got beat with a sock full of soap.
Yeah.
The old blanket party.
Yeah. We always had the Commander sugar cookies. That was our thing at Relax in Jackson in South Carolina was the Commander Sugar Cookies. That's where they would smoke the shit out of you PT you all fucking day long, and then they'd make you roll around in the sand pits until you come looking like a nice sparkly fucking sugar cookie. And they call us Commander Sugar Cookies.
I'll never forget. We got smoked so bad because we had a guy who snuck down to the main PX to buy cigarettes because trainees weren't allowed to smoke on post because the base commander, you know, post commander had jaw cancer from chewing. Trainees weren't allowed products. So this guy, like, I'm going down there, I'm going to get cigarettes. So he's in his, you know, in his BDUs, plain as day, he's a trainee. And, you know, so we see him a couple hours later, MP on each arm, bringing him back to our, you know, our company commander. So he tells me the story. He goes, yeah, I was down in the PA, and I was buying cigarettes, and this old man, and he goes, hey, you know, trainees aren't supposed to tobacco. And he goes, you old man. And
that old man have half a jaw by any chance?
You have. He goes, you don't have any idea who I am, do you? And he goes, I don't fucking care who you are.
Oh,
and he
no.
goes, oh, you care? He goes, you're going to care in a minute. And he goes, doubt that. And he pulls out his ID. Brigadier General James Worman, the post commander. And he looks at that ID and he said, I went ghost white and realized how fucked I was.
Because
oh, no.
I knew 2 hours that later, guy, I'll be standing with a bucket on my head out in the hot sun screaming, I'm a little teapot.
That's right.
Oh my gosh. And it you know, it was, you know, bad enough that he smoked. We all got this because he's an idiot. So, yeah, that was, when he looked at me and he goes, yeah, I give a fuck who you are. And I was like, oh, dude, that was dumb. That was like the stupidest thing that you could have said.
That was dumb, guy.
See, and cigarettes are difficult because they can smell them. Anybody can smell it.
Yeah.
You know, just after you smoked, anybody can tell. So when we were in and I was doing any kind of training, we just dipped. And we would always send one guy, one brave soul to go up to the fucking PX to go buy like fucking 10 rolls of Skull and fucking Copenhagen and shit to come back and bring us.
Come back with two logs.
Yeah. And he was the one that was always the bravest one to do it. And he ended up getting caught one time. He was on the top bunk in our room there, and he was sitting there and he had his bottle in his hand and he was kind of shoving it to his side, and you could tell his lip was fucking way out to here. And the fucking company,
I like red shrimp, I like fried shrimp, I like coconut shrimp.
The company sergeant first class walked in and he was like, oh, come on. And it was like, fuck.
Oh, they do like a tire company locker inspection after that.
I don't remember anything that they did once. That was in AIT. So anytime, because we didn't go anywhere in basic. Like everywhere that we went in basic was fucking straight and narrow. Like, you know, and AIT was, you know, a little bit more individual. So if somebody did something. At least in the beginning, it was kind of all together still a little bit, but more towards the middle and the end, it was more spread out and individual. So,
speaking of more spread out and individual,
I had rough.
I was trying to close the show.
Oh,
go ahead.
We've already gone 110, 105 minutes.
Oh, excuse us.
No, I mean, we can keep going if you want. I just, it's 9 o'clock and I got to get shit done for the cruise.
I'm just fucking with you. Do what you got to do.
Speaking of whatever I was going to say, do us all a favor, head over to whatsinyourhead.com, click on that Patreon link, sign up and subscribe. It'll cost you $1 a month, and if you haven't done so, head over to youtube.com, click on look for D410 Media. That's D410 Media, or you can find the links on our website as well. And you can watch our videos there, and that goes a long way to help out what we're doing here. And if you go to whatsinyourhead.com, click on, you can order some stickers to show your love and support the show that way. We want to thank everybody so much for joining us. I ain't got to get up and go drive to fucking Miami tomorrow. These two fools got to go to work. And so until next time, thank you guys so much, and we will holler at y'all later. I said later.
This has been a Digital 410 production.